Blog Talk Radio.
Jessica, we got you in, babe.
Awesome.
What's up, everybody? Stephen Bogle here, Bozilla, if you will. I know you got to feel real privileged 2 days in a row, Bozilla Blog Talk Radio. But today is going to be another great show. We have my friend, Miss Jessica on the phone right now. Miss, if you're there, go ahead and chime on in for me, please.
Yes, I am here, Mr. Stephen.
Thank you for showing
right,
up.
Ready.
Yes, I'm ready to go. We try to do the show about last week sometime, and some things happened, but you know, we fixed things, and now we're about to do it right. So let's go ahead and get into this. Go ahead and let's talk about it. Go ahead and start us off, please. Let us know. What's up?
All right. Happy to Wednesday evening, everybody, and welcome to our Blog Talk Radio show on this Wednesday evening. I would love to introduce myself. Again, like Stephen said, I'm Jessica Hall. I have an organization called Faith Group, and so what that means, our definition of faith, fighting against injustice to bring hope. That's the name of my organization group, nonprofit, and so I'm a criminal justice reform advocate is what I am. So that's my business that I do alongside with being an elementary school teacher. So I'm super ecstatic to be the guest on the show tonight. And tonight we're going to go straight into it. Our topic is on the four key causes to mass incarceration in the first place. So let me elaborate on that just a bit. The fourth incarceration in the first place. First, we got to begin to realize what's the reason that incarceration even happens, and how did it come to the point where now we're experiencing mass incarceration, right? So, Stephen, whenever you're ready, I can just go into those points, and we can talk about each of these 4 points, elaborate on them a little bit. So,
okay. I'm ready to go. Go ahead, give it to me. Let's go.
All right. So, my first point, okay, so what's the number one cause of incarceration in the first place? How does it begin? Well, what happened? What happened a long time ago, back in that person's childhood, to something that angered that child or maybe even traumatized that child to cause the child to act out, stay into trouble, especially in school, and just be totally, totally defiant? Have you ever seen a kid in school and they stay in the principal's office? Well, if a child is in the principal's office every day, something's going on at home. And we don't never know what's happening or what that child is going through in their home. Do we, Stephen? Now I'm going to just ask everybody on this show. When a child is traumatized or something happens to the child, such as a parent leaving the home, such as abandonment of the mother or father, it doesn't matter which parent, sexual or physical abuse that child has been through that they might be too scared to talk to an adult or somebody about, or even, I'm not going to even get into point three because that's going into point three, but something had to have happened that's causing that child to act out, be angry, and that's going to spiral down the line of that child being a very defiant preteen, going into teen. Now the child's in high school. Now he's getting expelled, suspended from school from days and then weeks, and eventually until that child gets kicked out of school, eventually, which is going to land him down the road into getting a juvenile and then to prison. Go ahead and let me know your elaborating thoughts on that, Steve.
Well, you know, this is what we do on the pipeline. That right there is what you've completely told what the pipeline begins. To me, it all starts back, I think it's sooner than that. We have studied that we have found out that a child, boy or girl, are not mentally able to understand what has happened to make them go to this type of lifestyle, crime-wise. Because a lot of these kids go right into crime because they're in gangs and they're looking for that family that they might have lost. For instance, father's not being in the household because he might be incarcerated or he might just not even want to be a father. Because I can speak on my side. My side was my father wasn't around, which wasn't his doing, which wasn't my mother's doing. I think it was more of a mixture that he, as my father, he wasn't grown up enough to be a dad. And then my family just kind of blackballed him away from me. So it's a mixture of both things. So people need to understand that you, as an individual, a parent, aunt, uncle, family member, you have to please grab a hold of these children and let them know that it's not their fault. Because sometimes we as parents, we mess up. I know me being incarcerated is going to affect my daughter down the long run. I try to stay on top of that. I try to stay on top of that with her, let her reinforce her that I know that she needs to know that I love her, even though she's in North Carolina, I'm here in Ohio. But I talk to her at least two or three times a day if I can, and I let her know that daddy still loves you, but daddy will jump in you if you do something crazy. Even though you are 21, doesn't mean you're still going to be my child. But that's the problem that a lot of parents need to know. You just quit being your child's friend. Be the parent. And I agree 100% with what you just said. We need to figure out what has started this whole incarceration thing. It does start back that way. It does start back as a child knowing the option of which way he needs to go. And then that's why sometimes they do fall in that lifestyle of crime, behavior, acting out in classrooms. I have ladies on my group here that are teachers, and they can tell you. Danielle can tell you. Chrissy Wilson can tell you. They're teachers. They see it. And you're right. That's where it starts. But how do we get a hold of that to let these kids know that, hey, look, you got to straighten up because if you don't, this is the way you're going to go.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm so glad that you said that, Steve, because you just touched on two of my next points. As a matter of fact, that is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to go straight into point two, which is one parent home. Parent not being in the home or the other not being in the home. Most of the time, it's the father not being in the home, right? It's some type of abandonment. The parents did not, they messed up and was probably young and dumb and stupid, right? Got pregnant, wasn't trying to get pregnant. Here comes the baby, right? Not prepared for the baby. Probably don't even have a job yet. Neither one of them. Probably still in high school, for all we know. So the baby comes, right? So now the baby is the mother or the girl. I mean, most of the time, the girl's mom, our grandparents take the baby, right? Because she doesn't know how to raise the baby fully. She's still underdeveloped in her mind. She's still a child. So now that baby is coming up in a unstable situation, right? But for the most part, it's always usually ends up down the road being a one parent home. Most of the time, the father being absent. Sometimes it could be the other way around, but most of the time, the father being absent. So what I want to find out is, where is all our men? It's easy. They're in prison. Most of them. Dead or in prison. Mm-hmm. So that's my second point. Let's elaborate on that a little.
As far as being incarcerated, that is a big thing. It is a big thing for our young men, black or white. It doesn't matter what color because it affects all races. People need to understand that us as men, we have a lot of things that go on with us. First of all, pride. Pride is the main thing that destroys a black household, especially African-American household. Feels that, you know, I'm being very disrespected. I can't get a good job. How can I support my wife or my girlfriend or support our baby? So you know what? I'm going out to the streets and start selling drugs, or I'm going out and I'm start robbing people and stuff like that. But that's just a cop-out. Sometimes you do have to do what you need to do to survive and take care of your family. And I'm not saying going out there selling drugs and robbing and stealing and stuff like that. Sometimes you might have to work for two or three jobs at stuff you don't want to do. You might have to go work at McDonald's. You might have to work third shift, clean up somewhere. And that's what a man has to do, because back in the day when our parents were growing up and our grandparents were taking care of us, my grandfather worked hard. He worked in a steel mill. He worked working on the bus plant, putting school buses together. He worked every day. And I remember seeing my grandfather going to work tired, carrying a lunch box, catching a bus. He wasn't even driving, catching a bus to work in Springfield, Ohio, at International Harvester. Springfield, Ohio, catching a bus. But Springfield, Ohio wasn't a very, very fine place to be if you're African American, if you catch my drift. So he was catching a bus to work. And he would come home, and I'd be sleep on the couch because I always want to make sure I see my grandfather get home from work. He'd come in the back door because I'm asleep. He doesn't want to wake me up. But you know what? That's the main thing that a lot of us young black men, and I keep saying the black thing, our young African-American men don't see with the black fathers. They don't see the black fathers coming home from work, or they don't see the black father treating the mother like the queen that she is. That's a big problem. And so how do you expect the young man to learn how to be that father or be that husband or be the provider of a family when he has never seen it before because the father's not around? Now, that whole subject right there is that what do women need to do? Women don't need to do too much. Women just need to be there for the man. Don't think you're better than a man. Don't fall in that trap when you hear women say, you don't need a man. You could do this all by yourself. And yes, you can. Women are strong. But sometimes when you do that, you take the man's malehood from him. He might as well wear male underwear with the little holes in the front, because that's how you act. Men don't want to see the woman acting more manly than he is, because that hurts. We already fighting enough. We're fighting the police. We're fighting the system. We're fighting another man trying to holler at your woman because he might have a better job, or he might be a drug dealer making more money. So that's the whole thing that men don't understand. Money is not the object. Being a man is the object and how you keep your woman happy. And I have fell off of that aspect, because that's why my marriage did not work out. Because I was too busy worrying about what the next person says or what the next person does, because then I can't even look at myself and point the finger and say, look, you acting like a fool. And the worst thing I say is, no, I can't be, because that's me. I'm Bobo. I don't do things like that. But Bobo, you acting like a fool. Now your girl getting tired of you, and she says it's time for you to go because you're not taking care of home. And that's the main reason why the household doesn't work, because we don't understand as a man. I can say that for me. Not all men get me. There are good brothers out there. There's good people like men out there that want to do the right thing, but do they know how to do the right thing? Have they been taught how to do the right thing? And that's what I need people to understand. You have to learn how to do the right thing. And that's a movie, Do the Right Thing. You have to, and that's true. You have to learn how to do the right thing, because if you don't know how to do the right thing, don't expect how you're going to teach your son. How are you going to teach your seed? How are you going to teach your daughter? Because you are her first love. And if you're showing her that you are being a nympho, or as a male, men can be hoes too. I'm sorry. Men can be hoes too. If you're showing your daughter that you can be a hoe, what's she going to be looking for? You are the woman. You are your daughter's first love, man. Your first love. So act like it. Act like it. I have a daughter. She's 21. I'm sorry. 21. And I have to show her now, long distance, that I am your father. I should have been doing this a long time ago, but I was too busy in myself. And then I messed around, went to prison. Yes, that blackballs her. Yes, that scars her. And that's a thing that stress disorder that shows you that parents can make mistakes, but you hurt your children when you do things like this. Stress disorder is the main thing that destroys families and destroys children. We see them in these places. You watch these little shows, Scared Straight. They talking crazy to their parents, talking crazy to the CEOs inside. And, you know, that's so staged. That's just like professional wrestling. That's all it is, professional wrestling, that you see that. It doesn't go down like that because they're acting like they're tough, but when they are in there, they're crying. I was locked up with some kids that were my age, a little younger than me, 20, and they're 20, 21, 22, and they crying like babies. They come in, talk about they hard. I was crying like a baby, and I was 30-something years old, 40, almost 40 years old when I went to prison. I was crying. Like, Mama, I'm sorry. Please come get me. I don't want to be here. And I'm bigger than the average bear, and I was crying like a three-year-old little kid. So you know what a little kid, when they go to prison, how they going to act. Don't put on the role that you're tough, because you're not tough when you're in there. Because mommy and daddy can't help you when beside them walls. And that's for females, too. Sorry, I'm going off. Go next. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to over-talk you. Go ahead.
That was oh my God. Drop the mic because that was really good. Wow.
Thank you.
And so, yes, it is the environment that the children grow up in and are forced to grow up in when us parents make the choices and decisions that we make. We land ourselves in prison. Now we have forced our children to have to grow up without us. And my fiance has been in for 15 years. His daughter is going to turn 18 years old this Saturday, and he cannot be there for her birthday. So just been in there since she was four. So just that, having to force to grow up without her dad. She had to go through so much hell with that mother of hers. You know what I'm saying? That
exactly.
Is strung out on heroin, you know, and don't give a darn about nothing. You know, so with her dad in prison, what worse of a childhood can a child have? To have one parent
exactly.
on drugs and the other one in prison. That's going into my third point, which is the environment that we force our children to grow up in is basically the choice of the parent. Then you got to go with, you know, the mistakes of the parent. You know, we don't never know the mistakes that, you know, that we make it is going to affect 20 or 30 years down the future. We don't even realize it. At the time, it seems
right.
But now, look at what happened. You have forced your children to grow up without you. You know what I'm saying? For 15 years, your 15-year-old son has not had a chance to be with you because you've been in there. So domestic violence and physical abuse, all this other type of violence that happened that we put our kids into when we birthed them into this world, and they're stuck in these homes that are dysfunctional, are filled with all this domestic abuse and foul language and, you know, and drugs flowing through the in and out the house, doors flying open, people coming in all throughout the house, you know, mama's boyfriend, she's so passed out and high, she don't even realize that the boyfriend is tampering with the little daughter or the son, you know what I'm saying? And so the situations that we put our kids in, you know, that drives them as well to have post-traumatic stress disorder, which drives them as well to have anger built up inside of them, which causes them to act out, which then lands them in the prison. So we need to get back to the root of, like, stop the madness. Like, the decisions that you make young people, if it's anybody that's in their early 20s that got young, small children, I'm speaking to you today. The chance you make, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to affect your children's lives for the next 15, 18, 21 years, and even further down the line. It's the choices now that you make it. You decide to go back to college and get your degrees out of the way, even if I don't care if you're pregnant and that you do have two or three babies already. Go to school and finish your education so that you can provide a better future for your children. You know, make decisions that's going to affect their lives in a positive way, not the negative way. So that's what I want to say for my third point. The environment that we force our children to be forced to have to grow up in is all because of our choices.
Yes, it is. You're right. You know what? And I tell people that all the time, that just because you might have grew up in the hood, just because you might have lived in the projects, doesn't mean that you got to have a project mentality. Be smarter than the projects. You can be in the projects and still be a straight-A student. You don't have to pick up a football. You don't have to pick up a basketball. You know what? You can use your mind. Get up out the projects. You can get up out the projects. Do something that's going to make your people proud. Show people that, hey, look, I grew up in Graystate Green. I grew up in projects. I grew up in Parkside. That's in Dayton, Ohio. I grew up in Hilltop. I grew up there. But guess what? I'm not playing football, but I'm a doctor. I'm an attorney. I own my own business. And see, that's what people need to get away from. Football, basketball, boxing, all that good stuff is great. But how many people from your high school made it to the pros? I'll wait. Not that many. So that means you need to understand that, hey, I got to think outside the football field. I got to think outside the basketball court. See, that was my problem. I thought football was going to take me somewhere. And it was on my way taking me somewhere until I blew out my knees. And then football was taken away from me. The high school, college I went to was like, you know what, you can come, but you cannot come for free like you were doing. Your mother can pay for this scholarship. Your mother can pay for your class, pay for your school, your room and board, and all that type of stuff. And then once you get healed, you come back out and try out again, because at that time, the scholarship I had was to the next person. So guess what? I got to work out double hard to get the scholarship back. Now I got to beat the next kids coming out. Now I'm a couple years older, and now I got to go over against them. So that was it. I said, you know what? I can't do this. I came back home, went to Sinclair Community College, and went to school, ended up being a complete corrections officer, security guard, bodyguard. But you know what? I did not learn how to become a man, because I was too busy chasing hottail girls around. And not every girl I talked to, not every girl I messed with in school was a hottail girl. But you know what? Those are not the ones I tried to rub. That's not the ones I tried to get. Those are the ones I liked me, but I didn't do them right. Now I sit back and think about the stuff that I've done in high school. Sometimes the stuff that I've done has given me the reason why I'm here now. Because I had to go through that to talk about what I'm talking to talk about now. You have to go through problems to understand what your destiny is. That your destiny is this. You have to be a bigger person than what you're coming through. What you come through is not going to kill you. What's going to kill you is when you make the decision to do something that's really, really stupid. Sometimes you have to learn what you have to go through. I had to learn, and I'm still learning. I'm still paying the consequences of the stuff that I went through. I can't get a job because I still got that felony on my record. And they said it's supposed to disappear after so many years, but guess what? It doesn't. It's still there. When they want to look you up, it'll come up that you were a felon. So now that I'm back in school, I'm getting my bachelor's degree. Then I'm going to get my doctorate. I'm going to go back to school for my master's. Then I'm going back to school for my doctorate, because I'm going to get them letters behind my name to battle that one letter that says F, which means felony, and that's going to be erased. You have to better yourself. Just like you said, you have to go back to school. If you're a girl and you got two kids and you still in the system, you can get yourself out the system. Don't let them kids see, hey, mommy's waiting every day, every month to get that check. Mommy's waiting every month to get that food stamp card. Don't get me wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because sometimes you have to get on the system to make sure you get to where you need to go now. Sometimes it has to be that. Because I'm not saying the system is lost. The system is made to help you, but also it's made to break you. Because they're going to give you all this stuff, and you're going to feel like, you know what, I might as well not work. I might as well wait and get this check every month. I might as well get these food stamps every month. Because you know what, that's how they want you to feel. Don't feel like that. You're too smart for that. Women, you're too smart for that. I know some brilliant women in my life right now. My ex-wife, Tammy Bobo, she is brilliant. My best friend, Christy Woodson, is brilliant. My girl that's on my team now, that's the president of the pipeline, she's brilliant. Danielle Andrews is brilliant. She's the one who you need to talk to. That girl right there has been through some drama. And she's the one that keeps me focused, keeps me grounded on doing stupid stuff because she understands where I'm coming from. She's seen it. And that's the problem. You need to have somebody on your team. Man, you need to have somebody on your team. Not because she's got a body. Not because she's built like Beyonce and stuff like that. She needs to be smart that can help you take your destiny where it needs to go. Not every woman that looks like Beyonce is going to be good for yourself. You need a woman who's going to be good for yourself. And she will turn into Beyonce because you will make her feel like she's a queen. It doesn't matter. You girls need to understand, carry yourself like a woman. Carry yourself like a woman. Don't carry yourself like one of these little knucklehead girls in the street because that's not who you are. Your mama didn't birth that. That's not part of your gene. They want you to think you are like that. Some men want you to feel like that. You're not that. Be the queen that you're meant to be. That's the whole thing. Fellas, be the kings that you are. Your mother didn't raise no knuckle. Your mama didn't raise no dope boy. Your mama raised the man that's supposed to go to work every day and take care of his kids. Don't bring them kids home to your mama. If you laid down and made them, you lay there and take care of them. Your mama didn't birth them kids. Yes.
Boss man, we need her information. We got about 3 minutes left.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I apologize.
All right. But look, that was great. That was good because I was just, man, you laying it down tonight, Steve, I'm telling you. But, okay, so this is my last point for the last couple minutes of our talk, which is three strikes you're out. Three strikes you're out. That happened during the late 1970s, early 1980s. Now, that's my last point, Thracia, in the first place. And it all it started when Clinton was in office with three strikes you're out. And when they put the tough on crime laws in place, and it started back in probably about the early 80s, late 70s. So that's where I wanted to end our discussion at tonight. Three strikes you're out.
Three strikes you're out. Oh, my God. I remember that three strikes you're out. I remember all that went through.
Remember that? Tough drug law?
Yeah, you know, we studied that. I just had a class on that. We talked about the three strike rules, you're out. In California, I think they still have a three strike. And that's a lot of things people don't understand. But see, the system is meant, don't get me started on the system. I'll get on my soapbox again. The system is meant for us to fail. And I'll say it's us black men, Hispanic men, is meant for us to fail. They try to make you fail. All right, 90 seconds left. I guess that'll be it. We are going to have to do a part two to this show. Oh, my God. Part two. Just let me know when you're ready to do a part two. We will definitely rock it. I love having you on here. You are, that's deep. Thank you so much, my queen. You did the thing. I appreciate you. We've been trying to get this hooked up for a while. We finally did. Sometimes God tries to get this. It's not time for this yet. That's what God said. It's not time for this yet. Now it's time.
Yes.
And
it's
so I want to say.
It's most certainly our time now.
All right, darling. Thank you.
Guys,
whenever
so
you're ready to do
me.
A show, I got you. No problem. You're welcome. I want to thank you for coming on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, last night was kind of a wild show, but today I think I kind of laid it down just a little bit. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the show. Anybody who wants to do a show, please leave a message to Danielle. And she will get you booked in. We will definitely have a show pretty soon. Next month, we're going to be going to an hour. And I'll definitely want an hour because we need an hour. 30 minutes is just not enough to preach what you need to talk about. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Bozilla Show. Pretty soon, it's going to be the Bozilla and Dollface Show. And we're going to have me and Danielle on here. And we're going to be talking about the same thing from domestic violence to drugs to everything else that's going on in this country today. In 10 seconds, y'all, I want to say good night, everybody. Safe. Wash your hands. Be careful. Love y'all. Bozilla app.
Love you guys. Good night.